with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! We begin this, the final week of the first month of 2015. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. This is the program for the 26th day of January 2015. Not 2015, not 2014, but 2015. The 26th of January. This program is, of course, as we almost always are, unless I've fired up the Learjet to, rolled it out of the hangar and sent the pool boy and the cabana boy home and, whatnot, and sailed off to some sort of getaway of ridiculous, luxurious indolence, perhaps on a little island somewhere. This program's live Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., and yay, verily, has been for, this is our 10th year, right? Right. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I always forget that part. That's what makes me such a crummy, shameless self-promoter. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, of course, if you would like to wander by there, you'll find easy access to the chat room. That's where we have the real-time multimedia experience that is a live Horn broadcast. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Gerald. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Mr. Gibson. Good evening, Ron. And good evening to chat room moderators Lottie and Third Stage Guild Navigator, Folding Space, being in two places at the same time, Sparty and Man Cave. Yeah. I'm sorry, Marty. We bid on the last Concorde, but, the hangar was a pain in the ass, and parts is a real booger for one of those. So some days we use the Learjet, some days we use the Gulfstream 5. Actually, we've got a Gulfstream 9. We're that well thought of. We're testing out the experimental. And of course, we go toddling down the mountain to the airport in the Maybach on a day, on days with ours, and on the other days we just use the Bentley. So here we are. It is indeed the 26th day of January 2015. This is our little ongoing effort to provide something along the lines of progressive broadcasting. That does not involve anything suggesting that you buy gold now or a vacuum cleaner that picks up bowling balls off Swedish mattresses as you recline there in your glory waiting for the herbal hair growth remedy that you bought by listening to a radio program cause your follicles to start folliculating and generating hair on your bald little noggin. None of that happens here. This is a program that exists entirely upon the goodwill of the people who listen to it. And thank you very kindly to Margaret. Margaret was a big, big help closing out the gap from last week and getting us started on this, the final week of January. Thank you very kindly, Margaret. I cannot express it kindly enough. So every evening we try to raise $150. There aren't just a hell of a lot of radio shows out there that say that. No. Not by any stretch of the imagination. The PayPal access is at the tab Contribute. excuse me. A little bit of Cheese Whiz stuck in my throat there. the contribute tabs at headonradionetwork.com as well. It is, in fact, Moran Monday here, and you know how Moran Monday works. Birthers, deathers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, repiglicans generally breathe and emit noises out of their mouths, and that's how, and children, that's where morans come from. You know, when right-wingers speak. And we've got, oh my goodness, we have a plum basket full of them. Ah, thank you very kindly. I heard that earlier from Roger and Humboldt too. Chat has gone down for mobile devices, so it's time for us to re-up that subscription. But thank you very kindly for letting me know. Tune in loud and clear. I appreciate it. Let's see. Get rid of a little junk in the email box. Okay. Moran Monday, though. I posted over the weekend, I posted a link to the remarks that old Serpent's Heart, thank you, Boss Man Wayne, made over the weekend at the Isn't It Weird to Be in Iowa thing by Godzilla from Wasilla. And with the understanding that she is grandmothered out of all Moran Monday competitions. Otherwise, she'd just win it all the time. So we'll be leaving her alone. But that doesn't mean that we're hurting for information or even even the tiniest bit hurt for content this Moran Monday. Oh, God, no. I wish we were. I do. I wish we were. But we're not. Oh, Jesus, no. We're not. We got plenty of Morans. Morans. Lots and lots of Morans. Really? Really, Raymond? Lots of Morans.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morans.
There it is, you hear it, the Calliope music is playing on the midway. It is, in fact, Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas. You will hear Morans, which will challenge your ability to deal with the reality before your very eyes. Right-wing Morans, birther Morans, deather Morans, tenther Morans, booger-eating Morans, bircher Morans, libertarian Morans, 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 one and all. You know, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed, it works out to about less than 5 cents an hour of programming for what you get here at the Horn behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, and there is no better bargain on the entire midway, as long as we do understand that we need to keep our hands upon our children, pets, purses, backpacks, fanny packs, man bags, and anything else that may be of things they can get right grabby at times. What's theirs is theirs, and what's yours is theirs. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits and morans. Take it away, Calliope man. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Let's keep it right here in West by God, West by Coal, almost level West Virginia to get started on this here Moran Monday. You may recall that not too long ago, back, a woman in Florida went after a high school in North Daring Muslim vocabulary in their lessons for our precious, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian cheerings here in Merca. Yes, indeed. She wasn't going to have any of it. She attacked the high school, and she got all kinds of weirdos to attack the high school with her. Oh, for pity's sakes. Oh, Calliope man, Calliope man. Go away, Calliope man. Yeah, well, so she's back. And she is still awful. Her name is Diana Lynn Savage. I presume that's her real name, as opposed to, say, the right-wing tool Michael Savage, who's actually Michael Wiener, and that's why we call him the Savage Wiener. But Diana, D-I-A-N-N-A-E, with an E for an extra helping of Moran, went batshit on Facebook.
Time to light up the phones again, people. This is from Westside High School in West Virginia. Principal, Ms. Deborah Hall.
And gave her phone number, of course. You know, so that the right wing Kulturkampf terrorists could reach out to her.
A cultural diversity course they did on Western culture, more indoctrination. I spoke with Miss Hall for about 20 minutes this morning already. She is standing by it, even though she said, "We are in the Bible Belt and we are all good people here." I told her, "Please look up
some idiot
and the video she has done on our curriculum at our colleges."
Lady, you're in Florida. These aren't your schools, sister. Sit down and shut up.
Get educated about what you're teaching our kids. I also told her that if she were to take a stand and say, "No, we won't teach this," she would have more parents supporting her than she could count. Let's get this message to this principal.
What's the message? Well, the message is that Merkin children don't need to know nothing about no Islam. Because Islam hates Merca. And Islam's peoples hates Merca. Because Diana Lynn Savage is a moran. And morans tend to just lash out at you know, "Get your hands off my junk!" Right? Yeah. So, apparently, this thing got 310 likes, 500, that what I just read to you, got 310 likes, 530 comments, and a whole bunch of shares. And then the weirdness broke out. What, Bob? You mean that wasn't weird? Not comparatively speaking. Oh, hell no. That wasn't the weird part. Enter Sean Adkins, former United States Marine, who has a truthful rant on Islam.
Don't take my word for it. Let's check in on former United States Marine, Sean Adkins. Oh, God. Wait, stop. Oh, wait, shut up, Sean. Not yet. Hockey puck. We should all know by now, but no, hockey puck. Get the hockey puck out. There is 8 minutes and 47 seconds of this lunacy. Let's see how long we last. Oh, by the way, just so you'll know, in the background of the video, a rifle and a picture of Mount Rushmore, because he's Sean Adkins, former United States Marine. Here we go. Why can't I? Oh, there. Wait. Daggone it. There I was, a censoring, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, former United States Marine, Sean Adkins, who don't want no Islam in no schools in West Virginia.
Has been getting absolutely lit up. Some by people who are pissed off at me, but more largely due to people who are pissed off about something that was discovered yesterday here in Southern Coalfields. Yesterday, we found out that one of the local high schools has been teaching a curriculum that includes a study of Islam and Islamic culture.
And we don't want nobody studying no Islam nor no Islamic culture, because all we needs to do is kill them. Huh.
Now, folks, anyone who's been paying attention for the last few months, few years, few decades, or whatever, knows that the Islamic religion has a specific goal for the world and America in general.
And that is to take all away our pulled pork barbecue. Huh.
Unfortunately, we have...
And we can't drink cold beer, neither.
We have so many people here who are so caught up in this politically correct mindset that they go right along their merry way without ever asking questions or ever scrutinizing anything, but just accepting everything that's laid before their path. Except some of us don't operate that way.
Some of us know that the Islam is out to destroy America.
But we'll get back to that in just 1 second.
No, it won't be just 1 second, former Marine Sean Adkins. Ha! It's going to be 7 minutes and 42 seconds. Jesus.
First, I'd like to examine a few questions real quick. Why is this being taught, and who's behind it?
Islam's is behind it. Ha!
Now, I'm still awaiting a call from the superintendent of the school board from Wyoming County. But I did have a conversation today, probably about a 20, 25-minute conversation, with the principal of the high school.
Do you have a child in the high school? A lot of us would actually like to know that. And if you have a child in that high school, has the high school been notified that you post YouTube videos with a goddamn gun in the background? Just asking. And West Virginia and the southern coal fields, ain't no indoctrinating we want going on here, except the program that's proudly and God-fearingly presented into the school system by the Friends of Coal, who teach little fourth grade children how to be good Friends of Coal.
She was very polite, very cordial. We actually had a good conversation. I still don't think she sees the harm in this.
Because there is none. Really? I mean, we'll let this jackass prattle on for a while. But there is no harm in teaching children, high schoolers, about the breadth and scope of the world that's out there before them. Not everybody is like it is in southern West Virginia. Not everybody, when they go to church, has to sit in the pews with a rattlesnake on their lap a-petting it. Not everybody, when they go to church or temple or mosque or whatever, not everybody has to drink a little strychnine to prove that they love their God. Not everybody has to speak in tongues. Not everybody has to roll around on the floor covering. Not everybody has to pour a gentle dosing of Crisco over their heads. It's a wide, wide world out there. And sometimes just teaching about culture is not the same thing, and I really can't express this enough to Sean Adkins, former United States Marine. But teaching about Muslim culture is not necessarily teaching a religion. And after all these years that these morons hollered that they took religion out of the stews, apparently we're not allowed to mention that there's any other religions except the Judeo-Christians. And hint, that's not a religion, because the Judeo part of Judeo-Christian would take probably a little bit of umbrage at being sort of folded in with the Christian part, being as how they don't share any of the... Right. Yeah. You know, I remember years and years and years ago, I used to ask that question. Do you want religion in schools, you stupid bastards? Let's have religion in schools. Only thing is, we're going to need to have all of them. So on Monday, we'll pray a Roman Catholic prayer, and on Tuesday we'll do a Greek Orthodox prayer, and on Wednesday we'll handle snakes and do some Protestantism, some Pentecostalism. And on Thursday, we'll do Judaism, and on Friday, we'll do Islam, and then the next Monday, we'll do something. And it's going to take a while just to work through Hinduism and their 157 million thousand gajillion gods. That's Hinduism alone, and Shinto's going to be a little bit curious when it comes around time of the year for that festival where everybody marches around town with giant penis statues. That's going to be interesting. But... see, that's why America's in the mess that it's in. Because we done took Jesus out of the stews. Oh, well, enough of me. Let's get back to former United States Marine Sean Adkins.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay,
maybe
you are.
I'm the one that's crazy.
You are.
Maybe I...
You are. You are. No, really. You're nuts. And you're also a moron. That's why you're our lead nominee this evening. Sean Adkins, the former United States Marine.
I'm the one that's off my rocker.
Yep.
For seeing anything, any problem with this.
Yep. Yeah. You are off your rocker for seeing a problem with this. You're off your rocker for thinking that if you just teach children that solar energy doesn't work and wind turbines don't generate the no electricity and America's gonna have coal. That's just like the education children are receiving in other parts of the Union, or for that matter, other parts of the world. Yeah, you are off your rocker, Sean.
Some of you out there feel the same way. Maybe we're the problem.
You are.
But we're gonna find out.
Not from you or not. How are you going to find out, Sean? You going to go shoot up a school maybe, buddy? You going to go all-American sniper on somebody? Just wondering. I can't... whatever it is that's on his olive green T-shirt and yellow letters... starts with a B, and I could swear it reads Booger Eater, but never mind. Gerald with an observation. That's funny, Bob. I thought that America was in the mess that it's in because of out-of-control, unregulated corporations and illegal wars. Well, that's because you're a Muslim. But Gerald says, I'm not a Muslim. Yes, you are. You're a secret one, just like that one in our White House. Kenyan, you slurper, fascist, Islamo-commie. This is a smug bastard, this Sean Atkins.
Superintendent of the school board from Wyoming County. But I did have a conversation today, probably about a 20-25 minute conversation, with the principal of the high school. She was very polite, very cordial. We actually had a good conversation. I still don't think she sees the harm in this. And correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the one that's crazy. Maybe I'm the one that's off my rocker for seeing anything, any problem with this. Maybe some of you out there feel the same way. Maybe we're the problem. But we're going to find out. Even some of the teachers are saying that this is something that was required of them to teach. Now, talking to the principal, I did learn something. I learned of a policy in West Virginia. It's called Policy 2510. And
not Policy 2510. That sounds an awful lot like Agenda 21, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's right. I did forget. Thank you for reminding me, Gerald. Gerald reminding me that I forgot to tell him that he hates America. But, I mean, he's an Islamo-fascist Kenyan Muslim. He's got to hate America, right? Exactly. Question coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Hey, Bob, if Sean Atkins, former New United States Marine, has a movie about his military career, would it be called American Stupid? Speaking of the Denali douchebag, I want to know how I can get on the grift. All this woman does is get up and say rude, incoherent, stupid shit. Is that what it takes? Well, I'd hate to suggest it for anyone else, but it always works for the right wing. See also, compare favorably, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, Sandy Rios, you get the idea, Brian Fisher, right. Look, let's make no bones about it. If I was doing right wing radio, I'd be filthy freaking rich, and we wouldn't be sweating $150 a night. We'd have to turn away the Brinks trucks because it would all be coming in gold. Buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation. Gold is incredibly the only precious metal we can advertise on television and thereby fleece you out of a hell of a lot of your money. Buy gold now! And just tell them you heard it on your Bose Wave radio.
She informed me, and what I've read of Policy 2510 since then, states that it's based on the premise of a global marketplace and teaching the kids how to interact globally.
Global marketplace? Damn. That sounds Islam. Oh, yeah, by the way, when we bring all... That's absolutely right, Lottie. When we bring all religion into the schools and teach them all, we will have to have the occasional Rastafarian Friday. Oh, man. And all them little Christian children is going to have a very interesting day when we bring in animism and they ingest some Yahweh or some other hallucinogenic something or another to go on their vision journey. Might never be able to drag them back into the Pentecostal seminary and herpetological sanctuary ever again. But anyway, back to 2510. 2510.
How to be tolerant of things and how to accept everything and how to be understanding.
Wow. That's what he gets out of trying to ready a child for a global, for the global marketplace competition. Now, you know what? There's plenty of morality in that, too. I've heard that speech. We have to prepare our children to compete with children in India and China, who are scoring much higher in mathematics and science scores than our American children do. We have to compete. I've heard the competition speech. And that always, why? Are our children going to move to India and China and work for 12 cents an hour, chained to a table for 12 hours a day in some sweatshop in Bangladesh? Is that the goal? Really? But no, no, Sean Adkins, former United States Marine, don't like no globalism. I don't know. What do you think? You want to take some odds? I got a $5 bill, says he's an Alex Jones. Alex Jones listener. You?
And she informed me, and what I've read of Policy 2510 since then, states that it's based on the premise of a global marketplace and teaching the kids how to interact globally and how to be tolerant of things and how to accept everything and how to be understanding. In other words, it's a bunch of...
Did you get that? And how to accept everything. Got to accept everything. No. I mean, really, if this guy, and I'm not sure he's telling the truth, he might be a psychopath. Or at least a sociopath. Who knows? I don't know this guy. There's a lot of Adkinses all over southern West Virginia. Well, and there's that, too. Our buddy Steve pointing out learning. How about just learning for the sake of learning? Can't be doing none of that. It's got to have a market economy basis. Steve noting, when I was in high school, yes, public high school, I took a class where the students had to research and present about Christianity, Judaism, Jainism, Taoism, Shintoism, Islam. I taught that one. Confucianism, which we learned, gasp, is not a religion but more of an ethical system, among others. I just realized that's why I turned out to be gay. I'm an Islamo-gay who happens to be a papist. See? Well, maybe the light's finally on, and you can go to Marcus Bachman, Steve, and get you some restorative therapy in between. Well, never mind the corn dogs, and you can stop thinking that it's okay to be one of them Hindus. Gerald pointing out, Bob, I don't know what bothers me the most. The fact that this douche nozzle has his panties all in a bunch over this, or the fact that he's so hung up on this that he actually spent time researching the dreaded Policy 2510. Well, but see, if there's anything that says tolerance or diversity, That's just another word for hating America. Because Sean Adkins done went out there as a new United States Marine, to defend our freedom. Because everybody knowed that if we didn't kill a whole bunch of Iraqis, we wouldn't be free to choose from 39 different kinds of breakfast cereal every day down to the grocery store. That's freedom.
You dick!
What Spicoli said. But that's okay. He's going to give you his estimation of all that culture stuff.
In West Virginia, it's called Policy 2510.
Oh, we went too far back.
Global marketplace and teaching the kids how to interact globally and how to be tolerant of things and how to accept everything and how to be understanding. In other words, it's a bunch of politically correct bullcrap.
That's what it is. It's bullcrap. Bullcrap. Because I'm a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, former U.S. Marine, and I won't say bullshit. Because I don't want people putting NSFW around my videos when they starts going viral. Huh!
Now, I've got a copy right here of a few parts of 2510.
Just a few parts.
The whole policy would probably take about 25, 30 pages. But I want to read just one.
25 or 30 pages of Kenyan Islamo-fascism. That's what it is.
One thing here real quick. Multicultural education must be integrated across content areas to foster an attitude of understanding and acceptance of individuals from a variety of cultural, ethnic, racial, and religious backgrounds as per West Virginia Code.
Not the West Virginia Code. I'll bet it's a secret Kenyan Muslim usurping code.
Folks, that's a really nice and friendly way of saying we're going to be politically correct no matter what.
No, Sean, you moron. It is a fairly straightforward way of saying that we are going to incorporate the fact that this is a great big differentiated, different language speaking, different religion believing, different continent living world out there. And you're absolutely right, Steve. Steve says, last comment, this comes down to one word, fear. And of course, we all know that fear is the mind killer. And if fear is the mind killer, then this guy's mind is entirely, completely, utterly, totally dead. Cue up the Munchkin Coroner from Wizard of Oz. Can someone please explain to me, and you know, not as a right winger or anything else, can someone please explain to me what is so terrifying about having little West Virginia children learn that there are people who all over this planet who aren't quite exactly like little West Virginia children? Now, this stupid bastard happens to live in a place either in or not far from another place where the average life expectancy of a male is just short of the life expectancy of a man in Guatemala. And on a par with a man in Haiti. And yet he's afraid that somebody in one of those high schools will actually learn that there are Muslims in the world. Well, Jesus, Sean, you stupid. There's only 1.6 billion of them. And probably every bit of 1.5 billion of them would like to live in peace and never be with by former United States Marine Sean Atkins. But you just gotta, don't you?
Everything else, to heck with it. Political correctness has now taken precedent.
What does that Palin-esque word salad even mean? Political correctness has taken the place of it. We're going to have politically correct math and politically correct spelling. How do you spell cat? S-H-A-R-I-A-C-A-T. Sharia cat. That's how you spell cat. Politically correct.
You see, that's what 2510 really says. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with accepting other people.
Oh, okay, wow. This must be the touchy-feely part of the program. There's nothing wrong with accepting other people. Accepting that there are other people on the planet besides, you know, Sean. Accepting other people. However, you know that whenever a booger eater says there's nothing wrong with fill in the blank, that that's going to be followed by but. Right? Yes, Gerald, I think. Understatement of the evening from Gerald, who notes, Sean's reading comprehension is less than stellar.
It's good enough for the new United States Marines. Merkel. Freedom. Wolverines.
I want to see if that butt's there.
Not that butt. The other butt. The grammatical one. Stop it, pervs.
Has now taken precedent. You see, that's what 2510 really says. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with accepting other people. I want my kids, and I've always taught my kids, to love and accept everyone, regardless of race, regardless of financial status, handicaps, religion, whatever. But I do.
There it is!
You knew there was a but. Oh, it's confession. It's confession night on the horn. Jim with a note. Confession, I must admit to being an alien from the planet Porno in search of intelligent life. Oh, well, having landed where I did, needless to say, my bosses are pissed. I can see where, yeah. Ron and Raleigh. No, Bob, they won't have to move anywhere. This Congress and the rats will roll back Lochner and we'll work them like that right here. Meaning the youngins that are going to be... No, they're not moving to China or India. They're going to work in Lochner land. I knew there was a but. Let's hear what the but is.
Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with accepting other people. I want my kids, and I've always taught my kids, to love and accept everyone, regardless of race, regardless of financial status, handicaps, religion, whatever. But I do not want my kids to be accepting of a culture and a religion that is driven by hate and murder.
Then you better leave Christian America, Sean.
Because as I've noted previously, this here country, this Christian nation, was a heck of a lot better at killing, and has proven itself to be a heck of a lot better at killing Muslims than any Muslims have proven at being able to kill us. I mean, what are we at? 10, somebody, just for the rough estimate purposes, hang on, let me do my gazettas here. Let me get the gazetta machine out, damn it. Let's use as a rough estimate, because it was good enough for Johns Hopkins, and that's good enough for me, 1 million Iraqi civilians that we killed, and we're going to gazetta that with 3,000, we're going to gazetta that with 3,000 that they killed at the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers, and we are killing 33.3333 infinitesimally three decimals, we're killing 33.3 Muslims for every one of ours that they killed. So if he wants, he doesn't want his little precious lumpkin learning about people who follow a religion based on hate and killing, well, it's time to leave America, Sean. Because that's what we're best at. Carol pointing out, I get nervous when people feel the need to tell me what something really means, like the Bible and Policy 2510. They seem to get it equally wrong on both counts. When did they decide I don't know how to read and comprehend? Because, Carol, you're not reading and comprehending the right-wing way. By the way, just for the fun of it, you heard him rattle the paper. It really was a piece of paper he was rattling that he said had some of Policy 2510 on it, but it was probably 30 pages or something. Here's what Policy 2510 says. Wait a minute.
Policy 2510. all educational programs be designed to prepare students for a global society by improving the quality of teaching and learning in the public schools and ensuring that equal education opportunities exist for all students.
Sharia!
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Religion, whatever. But I do not want my kids to be accepting of a culture and a religion that is driven by hate and murder. And in particular, hate and murder toward them and toward you and toward everyone else who doesn't agree with it.
Now, he doesn't want any learning about any Muslim culture going on in his precious Lumpkins High School there in southern West Virginia. But I guess he does want Precious Lumpkin to be prepared to compete in the global economy, except for the part of that that's bullcrap. So does that mean we get to take algebra out? And a whole bunch of chemistry? Huh? Yeah. Hey, Sean Adkins, former United States Marine. Huh! Did you ever listen to any of that there guitar music? Mm-hmm. Muslim. Yeah. Did you ever drink any of that alcohol, huh? Did you? Muslim. See, they're already all among us. They done got their culture all mixed up in our own culture. Do you ever go to a church that says that people shouldn't drink? Muslim. Uh-huh. Oh, the Islam is strong in southern West Virginia, and it's all because of Policy 2510!
Now, why am I making a big deal about this?
Because you're a moron. You might as well ask why you're on Moran Monday, Sean Adkins, former United States Marine.
Are some of you out there making a big deal about this? Some people have said, well, why do you hate people? Why do you hate their religion? First of all, I don't hate Muslims.
Could have fooled me.
I hate Islam.
Oh, okay.
But I don't hate Muslims.
That's going to make it easy. Wait a minute. Have we heard this anywhere before? Hate the sin, not the sinner. Yeah, no, we may have to come back to that. So he hates the religion practiced by 1.6 billion people on the planet, but he doesn't hate them, just their religion. So when he tells them that he hates their religion and they feel personally offended and maybe like he really hates them after all, that's their fault, right? Yeah, good question. Good question coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. Wait, what, Edith, huh? Yeah, who was that dirty Muslim that blew up the Oklahoma City building and killed 300? Oh, yeah. He was a white Christian. Jeremy also inquiring. He said anyone, but he didn't mention sex or sexuality or sexual preference. And dear God, mentioned sexual identity? F this sick F. Not with yours, Jeremy. I wouldn't.
You know, if you look at what Islam does worldwide,
worldwide Islam. Because, you know, Islam has a seat of central Islamic power. And they've got a huge, huge mosque and all kinds of administrative offices. And they've got one Muslim who's the head Muslim of all the Muslims. Oh, wait, I'm thinking about Roman Catholicism. Sorry. This dipshit doesn't even understand that there's more varieties of Islam than there are varieties of Christianity. Tell you what, needle dick, get a copy of the translated poems of Rumi. R-U-M-I, Rumi. He was a Muslim. He was a Sufi. Now, granted, there are kinds of Muslims who will kill Sufis for being Sufi Muslims because they're the wrong kind of Muslims. But then again, it's not like that's unknown within the history of Christianity either. Now, remember, this guy hates worldwide Islam for what it teaches. Well, no wonder. Consider this. If anyone asks you how the perfect satisfaction of all our sexual wanting will look, lift your face and say, like this. When someone mentions the gracefulness of the night sky, climb up on the roof and dance and say, like this. If anyone wants to know what spirit is or what God's fragrance means, lean your head toward him or her. Keep your face there close, like this. When someone quotes the old poetic image about clouds gradually uncovering the moon, slowly loosen knot by knot the strings of your robe, like this. If anyone wonders how Jesus raised the dead, don't try to explain the miracle. Kiss me on the lips. Like this. Like this. When someone asks what it means to die for love, point here. If someone asks how tall I am, frown and measure with your fingers the space between the creases on your forehead. This tall. The soul sometimes leaves the body, then returns. When someone doesn't believe that, walk back into my house. Like this. When lovers moan, they're telling our story. I am a sky where spirits live. Stare into this deepening blue while the breeze says a secret. Like this. When someone asks what there is to do, light the candle in his hand. Like this. How did Joseph's scent come to Jacob? Ooh, how did Jacob's sight return? Ooh, a little wind cleans the eye. Like this. When Shams comes back from Tabriz, he'll put just his head around the edge of the door to surprise us. Like this. We can't have little precious children in high schools in West Virginia learning things like that, now can we? Of course not, because it would upset a walking Neanderthal like Sean Adkins.
Why do you hate people? Why do you hate their religion? First of all, I don't hate Muslims. I hate Islam, but I don't hate Muslims. You know,
and while he's thinking, he doesn't hate Islam either. And by the way, I finally figured out his T-shirt doesn't say Booger Eater, it says Border Patrol. Because he's got to be all... He's not in the Marines anymore, and we really don't know why. But he's got to have some authority manifested upon him. He's also got some sort of hat on. I haven't been able to read it yet. But it's not Islam that this guy hates. It is his impression of Islam that someone else has given him and that he has never bothered to learn for himself. He has never sat in a home in Tehran and experienced the grace and hospitality extended to a guest in a home there. He's never encountered anyone in Indonesia and had the first words out of their mouth to him be, "Peace be with you." He's only heard the Pamela Gellers and the Diane I, the Hoosier Flugler person tell him how bad Islam is and how awful it is for our children to learn it. He doesn't know the essential teachings of civility that are far more prevalent in the Quran and the Hadith than are to be found in many scriptures in his own Bible. He hates an Islam that was designed for hating and is, in fact, as great a perversion of Islam as the perversion of Islam that winds up with power-mad people blowing places up. Oops, I screwed up. Surprised this one didn't come in with a Bob, Bob, Bob at the top of it, coming in from Ron and Raleigh. I protest! On behalf of the Neanderthal contingent, I will not take this besmirching of our escutcheon lying down. You will have to meet me on the field of honor. As quick as we find one, Ron, as quick as we find one. Oh, here's another moment from Rumi. Oh, if a tree could wander and move with foot and wings, it would not suffer the axe blows and not the pain of saws. For would the sun not wander away in every night, how could it every morning the world be lighted up? And if the ocean's water would not rise to the sky, how would the plants be quickened by streams and gentle rain? Holy cow! This guy understands in the 12th century why it rains. He had it all over the Christians.
What? Water rising to the sky? I think we need to burn him at the stake.
And if the ocean's water would not rise to the sky, how would the plants be quickened by streams and gentle rain? The drop that left its homeland, the sea, and then returned, it found an oyster waiting and grew into a pearl. Did Yusuf not leave his father in grief and tears and despair? Did he not, by such a journey, gain kingdom and fortune wide? Did not the prophet travel to far Medina, friend, and there he found a new kingdom and ruled 100 lands? You lack a foot to travel? Then journey into yourself, and like a muse of rubies, receive the sunbeams out of yourself? Such a journey will lead you to yourself. It leads to transformation of dust into pure gold.
Nope, Sean Adkins' precious little lumpkin ain't going to be learning any of that stuff in part of Policy 2510.
And yes, Robert in Australia wants to know, the handicaps? Did he really say the handicaps?
Yes, he did. I kind of let that blow by because there's so much more there, but yes, he said the handicaps.
Because he don't hate nobody.
Good God. Oh, back to Sean Adkins.
If you look at what Islam does worldwide, it's atrocious.
Atrocious, Islam worldwide. Doesn't matter if it's a, there's an Islamic center of the Kanawha Valley, just not too awfully many miles from right there where Sean Adkins is, and what they're doing in there is atrocious. You realize that the odds are, him being an Adkins and all, them Adkinses, God bless them, they can't help it. Yeah, see, I'm getting it from all sides now, over on the Skype chat. Will in Chicago, Bob, you may have defamed Neanderthals by comparing them to Sean Adkins, maybe comparing him to Homo erectus, although Sean being more offended by that than Neanderthals is an added bonus. Yeah. He said erectus? No, you know what? I'm thinking this guy's probably more kin to Australopithecus robustus, if we have to wander off down the lines and stuff. You know, big, broad-shouldered, brow ridge, you know, tiny, tiny little brain capacity. Right. About the size of a walnut, really. We're going to get through this, I promise.
If you look at what Islam does worldwide, it's atrocious. So I speak up and I tell the truth about it.
Except you didn't say what it is that Islam does worldwide that's so atrocious, Sean. We're waiting. They won't eat pork. That's going to be a problem for you, Sean. Well, they won't gamble. Your Jesus didn't much care for gambling neither. Well, they won't drink alcohol. Burkas. The burqa, dear boy, predates Islam. What about female circumcision? That too, buddy. Oh, suicide bombers! Tomahawk cruise missiles. Next.
And sometimes when I do that, liberals start popping out like boobies at Mardi Gras.
Now, y'all supposed to laugh at that. He worked all week on that. And sometimes the boobies will start popping out like liberals at Mardi Gras. Liberals will start popping out like boobies at Mardi Gras. No, he said boobies. For the same reason he said bullcrap. He's trying to make this family friendly. Which is another way of saying he's trying to make it fit within Sharia law, but never mind.
That's what I do when I don't like something. Let's say for a second that I did hate Muslims, or that I did hate any particular group in the world, which I just stated for a fact I don't hate them. I hate.
By God, you dumb bastard, when you're clutching at your chest and you can't breathe and it feels like an elephant's on top of you, and they roll you in, and Abdul al-Haq Ramshami is standing there with a stethoscope and a pair of paddles saying, clear, you're not going to be hating. Oh, no, you don't hate you no Muslim, and you don't care what kind of Islam he is now, do you? Okay, all right, Gerald. Gerald's not laughing at his analogy. Liberals pop out like boobies at Mardi Gras. Gerald's not laughing. I'm not laughing at that because it was effing stupid. But see, at least that way we know that Gerald Adkins is a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, not a homosexual woman booby-liker person. So the right wing can like him. And maybe give him 15 seconds of fame.
Has this stupid prick been on O'Reilly yet? Watch. Just watch. I mean, now that we know that Holly Hobby Lobby kind of besmirched her conservative bona fides there at the Faith and Family Conference or whatever it was, look at this guy to maybe fill that philosophical space. There you go. See, Carol's got it sorted out. Liberals is like tits because we're beautiful and useful. See, yeah, we just need to gently invite little Sean into our little ingathering of liberals, and next thing you know, maybe we could make his brain stop hurting so much, or maybe even help him grow one. Who knows? Nah.
The religion that many of them are subject to.
No, notice there. Wait. He doesn't like the religion that many of them are subject to. Now, if we're going to use that kind of language, yeah, but America, we got freedom of religion. Okay. So, Sean, your parents were Baptist, and you're Baptist. Well, then you're subject to being a Baptist now, aren't you? Well, no, I could go and be a Methodist if I wanted Mommy and Daddy never to speak to me again. Yeah, that's what we call an interracial marriage in southern West Virginia when a Baptist and a Methodist get married.
Particular group in the world, which I just stated for a fact, I don't hate them. I hate the religion that many of them are subject to.
Subject to.
Because of what it stands for. But
which is what? What does it stand for? Islam means, what? Anybody?
Let's just play devil's advocate. Let's say that I do hate.
No, you can't play devil's advocate, Sean, because the devil, if he was real, is intelligent. I mean, there he was just talking about the weather and everything, and a woman come along, and next thing you know, he's got her eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then they get kicked out of the garden, and they're wandering around wearing fig leaf fashions, and apparently Adam's chewing on her heel, and she's a-smoting on his rib cage, And then there's Cain and Abel and murder, and where'd the women's come from? Hey, where are the new women at?
Muslims. Well, what do I do about it? I get on Facebook and talk about it. I make videos about it. I tell people about it.
The one thing you don't do, Sean, is go and talk to your therapist about it, which might actually help. Probably a Sharia therapist. They all got them Sharia names down there, and Dr. Abdul, and they want you to talk about why you hate your mommy. Well, I'm not going to do it!
But you know what I don't do? I don't cut off heads. I don't blow up buses. I don't...
Hey, buddy, if you really are a former United States Marine, no, you didn't cut off any heads. You just took the orders that your organization did, took the orders that resulted at least in a part of a million civilian casualties between, say, 2003 and 2013? Yeah, Sean, you really do need to be taking advantage of what little is left of the VA medical system and getting some help. Well, that's true, too. Gerald pointing out, I don't have babies either, but that doesn't make me any less human.
Muslims. Well, what do I do about it? I get on Facebook and talk about it. I make videos about it. I tell people about it. But you know what I don't do? I don't cut off heads. I don't blow up buses. I don't fly planes into buildings. I don't have sex with 10-year-old girls.
Yet.
I don't treat my women worse than animals. Now, that's what we don't do.
I don't treat my women worse than animals. Check me here, because he did say, my women.
He did use the possessive pronoun my to describe women. And my does indicate some degree of possession or ownership, does it not? Yeah, my women. Wait, what? That, your women? I mean, okay, once we get past the possessive part, shouldn't that be my woman? See how the Sharia law comes a-sneaking in? He don't even know he's having Sharia women, but he's got women instead of woman. Ooh. Oh, it's sneaky, that Sharia. And then there's what Marty pointed out. So he doesn't have sex with 10-year-old girls, but what about the boys? Lord, this is like fishing in a barrel. Almost too easy, isn't it? My women. My women. My women, folkses! The treating of women worse than animals is not an Islam problem. It is a global problem. There are Pentecostal religions, for instance, in this area, where women are only ever seen in public with wearing these denim, shapeless denim skirts that hang all the way. Oh, Jim. Jim wants to know, did he say women or rimmen? Oh, my. Wait a minute. Oh, my. Yeah. That's for you, George Takei. Michael and Madison pointing out, he clearly means he owns women, multiple, and treats them as well as, not worse than, animals. And then there's Carol, not having sex with 10-year-old girls or boys. I think his women's is wool-covered sheep. Ew! That's E-W-E. You guys are just awful, you know that? And delightfully so. My women. My women. No, the problem of women in the world is not an Islam problem. It is a patriarchy problem. Yes, patriarchy is codified inside Islam, but it's also kind of codified inside the Old Testament. That's why they're called the patriarchs! Mm-hmm. This is probably not the time for a discourse on patriarchy versus matriarchy, but I'll betcha I could find. Is this clown suggesting that because the abuse of women takes place inside good God fearing, Bible believing. Christian America, too. Almost absolutely certain. Oh, wait. Colorado GOPer opposes anti-poverty birth control program, you know, for women. IUDs stop a small child from implanting.
A very tiny little child. It's a hobbit.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's perfectly sane. Any given day. For instance, there was... Well, the problem is women with women. The problem for women there is not exclusively a religious one. Didn't the right wing have a total meltdown last week, right at the end of the week, because they were going to have one of their fetal abortion pain bills for 20-week-old fetuses, but. But the women all at the last minute objected because it had rape stuff in it that was going to say that no woman could have an abortion claiming rape until she'd been entirely through the entire judicial process, which usually would wind up in her having a rape baby? Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, it did. So, well, that, just a digression there. Okay, back to... And wait, didn't the 2012 nominee for President of the United States have binders full of women? Why, yes. I'll be dipped. He did. Maybe that's why Sean Adkins has women instead of woman. Maybe he's a friend of Willard, if you know what I mean. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
My women worse than animals. Now that's what we don't do. Now see, I don't think that all Muslims are bad. You'd be so naive to think that.
No, stay with the word you were working on there. You'd be stupid. Because you are. That's why you're on More and Monday, Sean.
There are about 1.5, actually there are over 1.5 billion Muslims in this world.
Well, I'll be.
To think that they're all bad would be the ultimate naivety.
No, I think you're stupid. No, go back to stupid, really. Work in your métier.
Well, I'll tell you this.
That's 1.5 billion people's going to hell because they don't believe in our personal Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, he's not going to say that. Please tell me he's not going to say that. Oh, dear, no.
Approximately 20 to 25% of all Muslims are of the radical nature.
Oh, he used Dick Finger scare quotes for radical.
Which means every day, every single day, between 300 and 400 million people in this world put their face on the ground and their butts in the air and pray to a false god for your death.
Hmm. Well, why? What is it with these right wingers that there's always a reference to? Why are they fascinated with butts in the air? You didn't serve a tour at Abu Ghraib, did you, there, Sean Adkins, former United States Marine? Did you? No, I'm just curious. Praying for your death. Mine, really, little old me. I mean, I guess I'm kind of honored that, but then again, that may be what they're praying for, Sean. But if we go back to the previous numbers, the prayers have not been answered. However, the prayers of the Merkin, the prayers to the Merkin God have been very good because we've out killed them 33. We've killed 33 Muslims for every. Every Bible believing upstanding God fearing Christian that they managed to knock off. They need to convert to Christianity. Jesus knows how to do some real killing.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
And what about all the other Muslims, the moderate Muslims we hear about?
Well, they got their butts in the air too.
Well, I'm sorry, but they have become irrelevant within their own religion.
Oh, well, really? I guess he's going to start a new program. Relevance with Sean Adkins. Anybody? Bueller? This guy apparently, I'm sure he thinks he's a Muslim scholar. We got a problem in America.
They are irrelevant because their religion is now controlled and driven by those who hate.
No, dumbass. There are those who hate within their religion, just like there are those who hate within Christianity, within Judaism. I mean, you want to talk about treating women like trash? How about that ultra-Orthodox newspaper in Israel that completely made women stop existing in a photograph? Nobody told you about that, did they? Or the guys who held up a flight because they wouldn't sit next to some filthy vagina person. Didn't tell you about that either. Didn't hear about that on the O'Reilly Factor, did you? Or watching Newsmuck TV. Oh, please, no, Ron, we can't let him know about that. He'll think that Frank Zappa was a Muslim. She was buns up kneeling, and I was wheeling and dealing. Yeah. That would be from Dynamo Hum, I do believe. And yes, Ron notes, P.S., that's from Shake Your Booty. Buns up! That's always been my favorite part of that song. She was buns up kneeling, and the chorus in the background, buns up! Yeah. Oh, dear.
So if they want to become relevant, then maybe we need to be seeing more of them.
Well, dummy, that's mostly who you see when you see Muslims. But that's not going to get covered on Fox now, is it? I'll bet this guy was in a dark closet in the fetal position sucking his thumb while Dish Network had Fox off, don't you? Yeah, observation coming in from Robert in Morgantown. Nah, Christians don't go around lopping off heads. We just use atom bombs and vaporize thousands and give blankets with smallpox to the natives. Christians.
Maybe they need to be speaking up. But you see, we see these little TV clips and these little conferences they have all over America, and very rarely, if ever, do you see them strongly condemning what's going on by the others in their religion all over the world.
Wait, okay. So we've been through 6 minutes and 57 seconds of you, Sean, and I haven't yet heard you condemn the deaths of a million Iraqi civilians. So does that mean you and all other people named Sean who were in the Marine Corps or any branch of the United States military are equally culpable? Because that's the argument you're making there, Sean.
They are either afraid, i.e. irrelevant, or...
No. I.e. means id est, which means it is, which means equals. Afraid does not equal irrelevant. You know, I'm guessing this guy came out of the West Virginia public school system, and all I can say is that apparently policy 2510 is the least of our worries.
They are accepting of it.
Oh, you got that? They're accepting of it. Yeah, my neighbor Ahmed wanted to strap on a dynamite belt and go blow up a disco. I mean, I guess I'm just going to be accepting of that. Irrelevant.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
No, it does not. Does not. Now, there really is a reason for this. There's a reason. Well, one, this guy's out of West Virginia, so I feel a personal burden upon my spirit. That's the way you talk in church. I feel a burden upon my heart to talk about this evening. But this guy is not his own thing. He is a created. He's a created creature. He is a child of Fox News. And he has a child's mind. He accepts things as they are presented to him without question, as long as they fall within the narrowly defined parameters of his right-wing confirmation bias zone. You know, all Muslims are bad, therefore all Muslims are bad. Some, no. Okay, let's express that a little more Aristotelianly. Some people are Muslims. Some Muslims are bad. Some people are irrelevant. Now, that doesn't work much better, does it? We're almost done.
So I'll say this in closing.
About damn time.
When people like me, and yeah, I said people like me, there are a lot of people like me out there.
Unfortunately.
In fact, I believe a lot of Americans would like to say stuff like this, but they're afraid of retribution, afraid of what their employer is going to say, or they're afraid of what others are going to say about them. I don't care.
No, you don't care. Because you put that out there on YouTube for the whole wide world to see, Cletus. And you don't care that the whole wide world knows now exactly how goddamn dumb you are. You're not just dumb, you're proud to be dumb. Hoo-ah! Right?
I'm less concerned with that than I am of what's happening to my country.
Your country! If only it had a good God-fearing Bible believer, all right, even a Mormon white man in the White House, we might not be in the shape that we're in with the Sharia law out there building mosques on golf courses and wanting me to treat my women like animals. Worse! And all them boobies popping out all over Mardi Gras.
But when we say things like, well, if this doesn't change, heads are going to roll, or if this doesn't change, let's blow up their phones, guess what? We don't mean that literally.
Mostly. Although you do fantasize, don't you, Sean? You got the stains in your shorts to prove it, don't you, Sean?
So don't look at us like we're the problem. And especially don't look at me like I'm the problem.
Yeah, dumbass, you are the problem. Because ignorance, in any era of human existence, fear, bigotry, and ignorance are the problem. And every cell of your being is suffused with it, has been suffused with it. You let it come into your ears. It met up with your bigot, your innate prejudices. They got married in your head, and it went to your heart, and now you're fully involved.
I'm simply the messenger here.
No, you're not the messenger. You're not a prophet. You're a dumbass sitting in front of a webcam in southern West Virginia showing the world what a bigot you are.
I'm simply...
You're simple. Got that part. You got that part right. Hallelujah for Mrs. Schmendrick's third grade, right?
Telling you the truth. I'm simply telling you what the facts are.
No, there haven't been any facts, Sean. There are no facts in any... That bullshit. This has been 7 minutes and 58 seconds of belief. Not facts.
Islamic culture being studied at Westside High School in southern West Virginia? Now, do I think the teachers and the principal and most of the people at that school are bad people? Absolutely not. They're probably some great people. They're people just like here where I live.
Okay, you haven't told us where it is you live, Sean, you idiot. But they're not like you. For starters, they have educations. For starters, they're not afraid of their own shadows. They're not bigots. They're not suffused with prejudice. They have a little bit of curiosity and maybe compassion for the rest of the world. Some of them, Sean, might even be liberals. Educated people often are. You know, the liberals that are like boobies.
Good down home folk. But I'll tell you one thing. People who better start waking the hell up and start asking questions, whether it's to their employer, whether it's to the state school board, whether it's to their government officials, and figure out what we're doing and what we're really teaching our kids in this country.
Okay, $5 bet.
will there be a God Bless America?
Because I plan on keep doing it. I'm not going to stop doing it. And I encourage everyone else to continue to do it.
Hey, Dreamer, come in here. Look here. I done got 2,000 likes on my YouTube video. I'm famous.
May God bless America.
I win. No, Sean. May Allah bless America. May Ganesh bless America. May Shiva bless America. May Krishna bless America. Buddha bless America. Huh? May Saturn bless America. May Thor bless America.
May Gitche Manitou bless America. May Huitzilopochtli bless America. May Quetzalcoatl bless America. We didn't go through all of this for all this time to simply make sport of a moron somewhere in West Virginia. I did this because I don't just do things. As a bit of an anatomy lesson. This is an anatomy of hate. Now this guy got this worked up, and he referred to his children. When a fifth grader punches another fifth grader and at the same time yells, "Faggot!" Odds are that fifth grader has learned that word at home, maybe even church. Because as that song from South Pacific says, you have to be carefully taught. Bigotry and hate and prejudice are taught just the same as we teach our children to wash after they go potty or to brush their teeth after every meal or not to put their elbows on the table or to pick up after themselves or not to track mud in through the house. This guy is who this guy is going to be. He may change over the course of his roads and his days, but the possibilities of that are decidedly slim. He's past helping. Probably. About his children. What do you suppose you would get if you were to ask his children what they know about Islam? Because if you think that this goon keeps it to himself in his weird little room with his rifle propped up against the wall, muzzle down, where all you could see was the stock and the scope, Something familiar about that guy. Maybe it's just because he looks and sounds like so many of the bigots that live in this state. Maybe, I don't know. They say, I have read and heard, that long before the Holocaust ever happened, children would sit in German classrooms where Jewish children were still allowed to attend school. And children would raise their hands and say, "Teacher, please move me. It smells like dirty Jew back here." Yeah, I went there. Because I've been taken there. This nation is being taken there. If you followed the news over the course of the weekend, you know that American Sniper has now crossed the $200 million mark in earnings. You know that instances of Muslims being randomly selected for batteries, for crimes against them, is on the increase. You know that that is a fact throughout what used to be referred to as Christendom. And I don't spend a lot of time being afraid of much of anything. I worry about a lot. I worry about the same thing most people worry about. Paying the bills, my health, the health and well-being of my family, my loved ones. Never, not once, ever have I feared that a Muslim was going to come and cut my head off or do any other bodily violence to me. Because, frankly, if something like that is going to happen to you here or anywhere in the United States, don't leave the house, because you're gonna be hit by a herd of rampaging bison or struck by lightning out of a clear blue sky without so much as a golf club in your hands or a ball bat or standing under a tree. You're gonna be hit by an asteroid or a meteorite that, you know, entering Earth from space and, you know, maybe having, you know, maybe the size of a BB, but a hell of a lot of velocity whack behind it's gonna go right through your noggin and you're gonna drop dead on the spot. Because those are the odds. But we have a nation, or a significant plurality of a nation, that just put a bigoted, prejudice-laden, reactionary, insurgent Congress into office that is sitting there slathering, slavering, slobbering, drooling for war. And there are a lot of people in this country who find themselves experiencing the sensation of what it's like to develop a taste for genocide. And that is why I spent the time that I did with that clip. Because that's what that guy represents. He is not just Sean Adkins. He is representative of a significant plurality in this country that wants to go about the business of killing Muslims for being Muslims. There is not that much philosophical space between the people who said
that Jews were involved in a giant world conspiracy to control all the banks and bring in their super double secret probation magic leader through the protocols of the learned elders of Zion and the people who say that Sharia law will make slaves of us all. In many ways, it represents an ancient trend in European white behavior. There was a deep, long before there was any Christianity or Islam, there was a deep distrust of Asian cultures. And the Middle East is, before it was ever called the Middle East, that's a new phrase. It was simply called Asia. Alexander and his little band, merry band of barbarians, set out across the Hellespont and laid waste to the Levant in a war of conquest. And they chased Darius. Or whatever I don't know what the Persian pronunciation is. All the way to Mesopotamia. And I think it was at the Battle of Gaugamela where they finally put him to flight. And eventually, he was killed by his own people. But the power vacuum left by his death set Alexander up as not just the conqueror of Persia, but the ruler of it. And in an attempt to incorporate his new conquest into his holdings, he adopted some Persian ways. The Greeks, not known for smelling particularly lovely any time of the year, were very suspicious of the fact that the Asians, the Medes and the Persians, were prone to using fragrant oils to overcome the smell of skanky humanness. And they, instead of wearing dresses like a good Zeus-fearing Greek would do, they were known to wear blousy pants, which kept them rather cool in the heat and afforded an opportunity to be considerably warmer in the cold. Long before Muhammad ever came along, the Asian custom was to bow with one's head on the floor and butt in the air, as Sean Adkins might note, before the sovereign, the great king, the king of kings. This too was done before Alexander. And his men, the original barbarians who had come trundling out of Macedonia with him, began to accuse him of taking on Persian ways, of becoming Persian, of being seduced by all that civilization. Because you could at that time look around pretty much the world over, and some of your nicer digs were to be found amongst the royals of the Achaemenid dynasty. They, of course, had taken by conquest themselves the kingdom of Babylon,
whose hanging gardens were still in existence and were, in fact, a wonder of the world and must have been, and were, in fact, so magnificent to behold that we don't really, in this day, understand what it is that they were. Just that every single human being who ever saw them stood there with his mouth hanging open, catching flies, and his hands on his hips going, well, God damn! Ain't that something? Fella could get to like this. The concept of taking multiple wives predates Islam, you know, by a freaking mile, or a league, or a hectare, or a bushel, or whatever. But Alexander was accused of taking on Asian ways. And it came to blood. A young Julius Caesar was sent as an emissary to an Asian king, a client king of the Roman Republic, lurching its way toward empire. And no sooner had he returned than the rumors started circulating that he had been butt boy to the king. Sorry, that's what the Romans said about him. And it followed him all his days. And when he completed his conquest of Egypt, including the fathering of a child by a multi-great-granddaughter of one of Alexander's generals, Ptolemy, a girl named Cleopatra, the first of the Ptolemaic dynasty ever to actually immerse herself in the ancient Egyptian culture and learn the Egyptian language, who set herself up as Isis on earth, well, damned if the folks back home didn't start worrying about how, well, you know, we never should have sent him to Asia the first time. Because although Egypt was in Africa, it was not Africa as the Romans understood it, and they thought of Egypt as being sort of perverse and effete like the rest of the area. So Caesar goes home, gets killed, and a power struggle ensues, and everybody knows about Mark Antony and Cleopatra and she made an asp of herself and all of that. But lo and behold, Mark Antony goes and sets up housekeeping with Cleopatra and has a bunch of children by her. And Octavian, who was the heir to Julius Caesar after his murder, begins setting up a big old nasty slander against Mark Antony, and what was the first goddamn thing they did? Mark Antony's become all Asian. And if he comes home, he'll make us follow Egyptian law. No shit, it's there. Don't trust me. Go read the ancients for yourself. And ran a slander campaign and a libel campaign against him that would make Rupert Murdoch blush. There's nothing new in this. But it does come in handy for enabling a little bit of slaughter once in a while. And so, with people like Sean Adkins, we see the street view, if you will, of what the urge for genocide looks like. Marty's saying, call what they want to do what it is. They want genocide.
and they have their media, Radio Rwanda, to egg them on. Amen. Anti-Muslim. And you know, I don't even like... Can we work on this? What's described as anti-Muslim sentiment is running wild in social media. You see it in the retrograde motion of people who are afraid for children to even know that the Middle East exists except as a place that we need to be killing people in some more before they kill us over here. I kid you not. I heard that in the last few days. We have to kill them over there before they kill us over here. And it's been barely 10 years since that ruse was run on us the last time, and apparently our memory is so goddamn short, we're ready to fall for it again. And like I said, I don't run around being afraid of things or people. But this scares the shit out of me. Because the killer's blood is up. And left to their own devices, they want to lay down Muslim blood. But Muslim shmuslim, why do we not refer to people as Indonesians? Or Saudis? Or Syrians? Or Iraqis? Or Iranians, or Uzbeks, or Kyrgyzstanis, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Indians, Lebanese, Jordanian, Egyptian, Algerian. Because in every one of these cultures, there are differences, there are cultural differences, like night and day. But because we have a need to feed our bigotry monster, our prejudice monster, our hate monster, they all simply become Muslims. I don't hate Muslims, I just hate Islam. Do you see now how stupid his statement is? How moronic his statement is? I don't hate people who practice Islam, I just hate the religion they practice.
Ha? What, Edith?
Huh? I don't hate people for being Jordanian. I just hate their religion. It becomes a little clearer that way, doesn't it? I will warrant that that Carol Baker will clap with glee when she hears this. A note coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas-stan. I just want to lock Sean Adkins in a room with someone who reads Joseph Campbell's Masks of God to him until he cries uncle. Ain't that the truth? He'd be bawling like a child or else beating the reader into a bloody pulp. Not a lot of nuance there. I mentioned a long time ago now, he might want to try some roomie.
If you told him to do that, Jeremy says, face to face, he'd give you a puzzled to blank look and say, I don't drink none of that Muslim drink. He would assume it was rum. So, let's take a break. Because I've done managed to eat up about 2 hours of the program, and I didn't mean to. This is, after all, Conversation Radio, and I want to thank Jeremy for helping out with fundraising this evening. Jeremy got us started. We got $140 to go this evening. Anybody wanting to help out Jeremy is more than welcome, and I'm sure he'd be happy to have the company. Both lines are open. 304-574-8178 is the one. 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN is the other. PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. Let's get the conversation going. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the best time of the day, the dawn, the final cleansing breath, unsullied yet by acrid fumor, death's cacophony, the rank refuse of unchained ambition. And pray, deny me not, but know me now. Your faithful retainer stands resolute to serve his liege lord without recompense, perchance to fall and perish namelessly. No flag-draped bier or muffled drum to set the cadence for a final dress parade. But it was not always thus. Remember, once you worshipped me and named me a god in many tongues and made offering lest I exact too terrible a tribute. For I care not at all for platitude and surrender such tedious detail to greater minds than mine and nimbler tongues, singular in their purpose and resolve and presuming to speak for every man.
from the profoundly brilliant album he released in 2004. That was Steve Earle. From The Revolution Starts Here. I'm sorry, The Revolution Starts Now. That was Warrior. This is Conversation Radio. This is Moran Monday on the horn. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Wow.
Hey, Jim.
You certainly have it going on tonight.
Well, maybe, I don't know. This just makes me a little, like I said, he's being a poster child.
Does it make you feel a little crazy?
I don't know that it makes me feel crazy, but it makes me feel deeply uncomfortable, Jim.
Well, I know what you mean. This guy sounds like he was going to, an absolute, not a candidate, but an instructor for the Hitler Youth.
And you know, and look, I'm sure it was not lost on anybody that, I mean, I'm sure it was intentional that there is a rifle with a telescopic sight, a scope on it, sitting immediately behind him. And it's completely anachronistic. He's got a picture of Mount Rushmore behind him. It looks like he's sitting on a copier or something. He's sitting in a bare room, and there's a picture of Mount Rushmore and a rifle pointed muzzle down, just leaning against the wall.
What elegant surroundings.
Yeah.
Not exactly my idea of decor. Afraid not. But I mean, this guy is just
for all we know, he's a few miles from me or a few miles from you, Jim, and not just that guy, but a whole bunch of that guy.
Yeah, that's kind of frightening because that's exactly what's happening, and he is not only symptomatic but also emblematic of what is being projected all over this country. And
Well, again, thank you for noting that, because this isn't, I mean, yeah, the guy happens to be from West Virginia. Okay. But
like I said, my bosses are really pissed. They really are. They said, of all of the 100 million light years of the galaxy, did you have to land in this place? When we get you back, we're going to send you to Planet Kolob.
Oh, well, yeah, that might be a more interesting trip. A lot of sister wives there, I hear.
I don't care about the sister wives. That's fine. I mean, you know, when you first started talking about this guy, I don't know why this came to me, but, oh, God, back in, when VCRs came out, a friend of mine had one, and I had one, too, and he said, I want to bring this tape over to you, and it was Conan the Barbarian. And the first words I ever heard out of Arnold Schwarzenegger's mouth was, crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of the women.
The lamentations of the women, yes.
And I just looked at this guy and I said, did he say women? I said, God damn. I said, my Lord, they probably enjoy that.
I don't know of any lamentations going on over that. I mean, you know.
I'm not trying to detract from the
seriousness. No. That's delightful, but no, this is this guy is and look, it's so understanding the anatomy of this. Understand that he posts this in support of this busybody woman in Florida who has taken it upon herself to start processes by which schools get verbally assaulted by right-wingers all over the country. It has been a miserable day for the principal of that school in West Virginia, just like it was a miserable day for the principal of the school in North Carolina that she went after.
Oh, I'm certain.
Because they now have a network whereby if a child so much as hears the word falafel, which means they can never study Bill O'Reilly, then, you know, Sharia law has done crept into another community.
Well, you know, the thing that's so terribly distressing about this for me is the fact that, you know, as far as Muslim or Islamic culture is concerned, they never bothered to mention, if they'd open the history book, that those people were living in a standard so much higher than Western Europeans in, for example, the Middle Ages. When we were in the Dark Ages, or they were in the, or my ancestors were in the Dark Ages, living in caves and roughly built and rudely constructed houses, these people had lighted cities. They were discovering algebra, astronomy.
Well, never, and you know what? Never mind. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but look, here's the sad reality of it. There are people who live in the not getting bombed, flat, blasted parts of what we refer to the Middle East who have longer life expectancies than that guy does. Sean Adkins.
Well, I have no doubt, because they have access to better and more sophisticated medical care and so many other things. I mean, what they're trying to do is portray all Muslims as head-swapping, head-bopping barbarians, and this, that, and the other. And, of course, that kind of stuff makes money. I mean, it's
well, if all I thought they were doing was trying to gin up views on YouTube and make a little money through their advertising on their blogs or whatever, I wouldn't be so worried about it, Jim. But this has, and I started having creepy feelings because I'm subject to the sort of arbitrary fear of numbers. But as soon as we got to 2014, I started thinking 1914. And
we've talked about that before.
And yes, we have. And it seems the impetus that leads to that kind of carnage seems to be on the march.
War fever being ginned up in 1914 after the assassination of the Archduke in Sarajevo, and then 20 years later,
bang,
we have the same type of business with
Adolf
Hitler,
and we managed to tamp a lot of it down for the most part, except for our nasty little proxy wars. But now the fascists are marching in Europe, and do you have any problem referring to this guy, Sean Adkins, as at least a proto-fascist?
No, I think he's a real fascist, actually. He might not realize it himself. He might think he's really doing something good, this, that, and the other. But so did a lot of other people when they marched behind the creation of the Third Reich.
Yeah.
You know, they were all well.
Yeah, that was an entire army that put on their pants with a belt buckle that said "Gott mit uns."
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And naturally he closes his video saying, "God bless America."
Yeah, they all do that because they all want to appear to be behind the Prince of Peace and this, that, and the other, when they are not doing that at all. I mean, Hitler used to say that, too.
Yeah, I think about America's greatest agnostic president, Abraham Lincoln, who, when asked, was God on the Union side, answered, "Madam, I'm not nearly as concerned about whether the Creator is on our side as whether we are on His."
Well, Adolf Hitler used to end a lot of his speeches saying that, you know, may the Lord further our efforts.
There we go.
You know, it's just a funny thing. I remember being in Germany and being near Munich and actually going to Zeppelin Field. And somehow I was allowed to stand on the very place that Adolf Hitler stood. And I looked over that ruined parade ground. It was a magnificent structure, what it was left. And he would just get those people all ginned up and twirled up into an absolute frenzy. And he took a noble and honorable nation into complete destruction, in addition to millions of other people, for his own warped dream of some type of political hegemony. And the same thing, you know, it's repeating itself. I mean, you mentioned one night, I don't listen every night, but I mean, you mentioned one night about something that happened in, was it Dresden? Or was it another city? No, not Dresden. It was
Leipzig.
Leipzig, right, right. The scene of the Battle of the Nations with the Napoleon. And, of course, those people were pretty much whipped up. And it's recurring again. It's coming again. I mean, even Goering, before they, well, he did himself in, made the statement, within 100 years, they're going to be building statues to us.
Let me ask you a question, Jim, going back to your youth, because there's a little bit of time between your youth, your childhood, and mine.
True.
But we both experienced a childhood in the Deep South, which one would sort of expect to be perhaps less open-minded about other cultures than other parts of the country. But for my part, I remember my public school, elementary education, junior high, whatever, all the way up through the end of high school, we were encouraged to learn about as many other cultures as possible. Not to learn about them as potential enemies, but to learn about the wide variety and in fact the beautiful breadth of the human experience. I mean,
oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And you experienced the same thing, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And may I interject this? The first things that my mother read to me as a child were from the Arabian Nights, Aladdin, the City of Brass, and so many other tales that were garnered by, I guess, the English who translated them in, Burton speak, who translated them into our own language. And these were read to me in conjunction with, for example, Grimm's Fairy Tales. And then, of course, after that came recorded tales of the Olympian gods, narrated by Ronald Coleman. And I used to sit there in awe and wonder as a child and listen to all this
and
stuff.
It made the world a big and a magnificent place that you wanted to see.
Exactly.
And now we have this noisy plurality, which we understand is enough to really, you don't have to have a majority. All you have to do is have a plurality, and you can make a real mess of things. Who want to recede into some sort of xenophobic shell where the only mention of Arabic culture is to mention that they're people who want to kill us, when it is simply not true.
Well, I concur with that. And like I have said many times on this program before, when we started this business back in 2004 with George W. Bush, that we really opened Pandora's box, and we really created a situation in which we, shall we say, how can I say it best, a situation in which a bad deal, a real bad deal.
And an
unprofitable venture in which we can only ensnare that which was terrible and horrible. And And, you know, this is one of the, you know, galvanizing sparks that is creating a lot of the stuff that's going on today with this, particularly with these proto-fascist Islamic groups. And now we're all putting them all together in the same type of looping proletariat. And they're not like that at all. I mean, they want to live. They want to rear their children, practice their religions. And if it does mean putting their butts in the air, well, this guy must have a real problem with the football team. He must think they're doing something Islamic when they get down there on the field. Now, I'm not trying to be...
No, but it's true. With their...
I mean, oh, God. I mean, I might live next door to somebody like that. That's one of the reasons I can sort of keep to myself and keep my cats at arm's length and basically... I don't know. In my advancing years, escape into my own world. Because it's about all I can do, actually.
I don't walk around suffused with a sense of responsibility over, you know, the program or anything, but when I see something like this, I almost do. I feel like it's necessary to call it out, to critique it, and to point out how dangerously, dangerously dumb it is, Jim.
Well, I understand that, and I certainly appreciate it, and I can relate it back to previous times in history. So many times in history you and I talked about this type of thing and how quickly it catches on, and the lack of education, the lack of historical knowledge. And, of course, you've got other people just saying, well, did you hear this? Did you hear that? What do you think? And even the ones who might beg to differ are absolutely afraid to disagree with the person who's saying that to them. That's what's so frightening to them.
Well, isn't it interesting that he cites that very idea within his monumental 8-minute babble there? I mean, God, that thing's longer than Freebird. But he says, you know, some people won't say that they hate Islam because they're afraid of their boss. Well, I'm not afeard.
He's not afeard.
Well, I mean, he said he's not afraid.
I just wonder, does this guy work for the Border Patrol, or is he like a contract employee of the Border Patrol?
No, he's wearing that because he's a wannabe.
Oh, I see. One of those. Probably one of those people who will tell you how much carnage and battlefield activity they've had, and they've never heard a shot fired in anger, except one they might have fired at a defenseless animal.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Fuck him.
Not with yours, Jim. Not with yours.
No. I've got something right here that will work very nicely for him. But nonetheless, it's a wonder he wasn't sitting on the muzzle end of that, whatever he was portraying against the wall, against what, a background of Mount Rushmore?
No, he just had a picture of Mount Rushmore.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's our boy on Facebook.
Oh, my Lord. You know, I just don't understand how people get to be like this unless, as you said, they got it at home.
Look, let's be clear. I'm sure some of this was taught to him in the United States Marine Corps.
Well, it could possibly be. But, I mean, I have too much respect for the United States Marine Corps to realize that you know, not all of them are like Arlie Ermey in Full Metal Jacket and that type thing. Of course, I guess that's the type of training they might receive. I don't know. I was not a Marine. And as a matter of fact, I always kind of had trouble with Marines when I had to deal with them because they were respecting greatly, but...
Oh, he's... Jim, he's working on a book.
I mean, I have the greatest respect for the Marine Corps and, you know, and what they've done in their history. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you know, they are extremely zealous people, and they are taught a particular way that is somewhat unlike the rest of the armed services. I will say this. They are extremely parochial in their approach to warfare. Now, is that a decent explanation there?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jim, I'll give you, let's play Guess the County. Now that I've found this guy. I mean, I'm not going to give out address or phone number or anything like that. Just let's guess the county.
Do I get a prize?
I'll give you a ring of the cowbell if you get it right.
Proceed.
I've found this Sean Adkins character. And the school he was throwing a hissy about was in Wyoming County, West Virginia.
Right.
But, okay, here's the first hint. He's not in Wyoming County. I know, that narrows it down to, what, 54? But, you know, he says here in the southern coal fields, so that should narrow it a little bit more.
Could it be Raleigh County?
Oh, no, sorry. Let me do my best Alex Trebek. Sorry. I'll give you a second one if you want to, okay.
That's okay. My geography of this area is somewhat limited.
Logan County.
Okay.
And I'm sure here, as soon as the internet latency catches up, Gerald in the chat room will go, well, of course. Oh, he already got it. Logan County. Wait a minute. For Gerald.
Wow. Is there any particular reason?
Well, Logan County has been... I know people are going to say, oh, really, Bob? But you can't talk about stuff like this without talking about the culture that has that this guy lives in. He's up to his neck down there in Logan County in Obama hate. He's up to his neck in a sort of insurgent anti-governmental notion that the EPA is out to destroy West Virginia Co. I have no doubt that you could, if I was to go rooting on down in his Facebook page, eventually I'd find something about that Kenyan Muslim trying to destroy coal in West Virginia.
Well, Bob, this isn't culture. It's counterculture. That's exactly what it is. It's total counterculture. And these people are trying to, with guys like him, they're trying to create this type of atmosphere of what the Nazis call coordination, acquiescence. I mean, they were such great coiners of these words. That meant something, yet meant entirely differently. And I'm not taking this lightly, because what I said to you the last time we talked was, I think, when I hear stuff like this, I take these people very, very seriously. And anything they say, and anything that might be positive for me, I realize they're trying to lure me into their own realm of thinking, but they all speak antonymically.
Yeah.
That's about all I have to say to this, you know. Is it snowing where you are?
Right now I have the horn color weather window covered up, so I can't really tell. I bet it is.
Yeah, it is. Supposed to snow tomorrow, too.
Oh, by the way, I found out, it turns out Mr. Adkins was, and you probably recognize this phrase, and I know a lot of other veterans will. He's a RIMF.
RIMF.
Yeah. Rear echelon. He says he was a Marine Corps veteran who served in the Persian Gulf War. He was stationed in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, and Bahrain. So it's exactly what you said earlier. He's never heard a shot fired in anger.
Oh, I'm familiar with that territory. Nonetheless, it is distressing, but it's a call to attention, and attention must be paid.
One of the things that happened as a result of this is the principal had pulled down posters that were left up, the children's work on a unit on food in the Muslim world. I said earlier about, you know, they can't even be allowed to hear the word falafel. Guess what? I said that without reading the rest of the article. They had to pull down posters that showed what food was in the Muslim world because of these bass-ackward, retrograde, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, bigoted monsters.
Oh, gosh, I guess I won't be able to have any falafels with tahini sauce.
I wish to God I knew it. Wait, is there anywhere you can get any decent falafel or anything like that in Beckley? Because there isn't over here.
No, I have to get mine off internet.
Why am I not surprised? They'd probably get picketed. But okay, but here's another little factoid you'll find you and the rest of the Horn Family Commune congregation might find interesting. One of the means by which this school was defended was by saying, "Wait a minute, this is a good school full of Christians. They public school, remember? They have a prayer circle every morning."
Well, yeah. I can't speak to that, but nonetheless, I mean, if they want to hear their prayer circles with their moment of silence or whatever, that's fine with me. I mean, their moment of silence could be, you know, in dedication of many things. But, you know, I've always said to you, and I'll always say this, let 100 flowers bloom and allow 100 schools of thought to contend.
Amen. The remedy to bad speech is not to suppress the speech. The remedy to bad speech is more speech.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, it's really a pity. I mean, what else can you expect from a state in which they have elected, what was it, an 18-year-old girl to the House of Delegates, or was it a male?
No, it was an 18-year-old young woman.
Well, I can't top that, and I can't say any more. And I know you've got other people who'd like to talk to you, and so you take care and stay warm, and that's it.
All right. I think there's a hot bowl of soup in my future as soon as the program's over.
Well, that sounds very, very good.
That's about right for this time of year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
All right, Jim, you have a good evening.
Same to you, sir.
All right. Bye now. Another denizen of almost level West by Cole, Virginia. That's our buddy Jim. Texas Betsy pointing out, my class learns about the food and customs of all the classmates and teachers. We celebrate and learn about every holiday, religious or secular. See? But no, don't tell Diane Lynn Savage in Florida about that, Texas Betsy, or by God, your principal will be getting calls from thousands of irate, irritated, annoyed, dirt, dumb, ignorant as hell, right-wing, American, loudmouth morons. Oh, and by the way, there's always a question, how does this stuff arise? Ooh, that's nice. That's nice to know. I'll make a note of it. Rocco in the chat room noting, the best falafel in New York City is Mamoon's on McDougal Street in Greenwich Village. Does it ship, Rocco? Ha Texas Betsy continues. She says, my principal asks at the end of every month what we're celebrating and if she can stop by. Well, I think that's very polite of her to ask if she can stop by. But if this, if word gets out, well, by God, hell, didn't they have a damn near riot with a bunch of American Christians protesting outside of a building that was hosting a meeting of Muslims? Yes. You might be interested to know, because these things always have a genesis. And I mentioned the coal industry earlier, and the culture of fear, ignorance, bigotry, and paranoia that suffuses it and the region where it happens, which Logan County, West Virginia, is one of them. Logan's been blasted all to hell and poisoned all to you know. So how is it, because this all begins when some photos go onto the internet of children's posters from their unit on the Middle East. Okay? I mean, I got pictures of the posters, Rat Cheer. The very self same ones that went up on the internet and got Diane Lynn Savage into a lather. Four posters that say Islam and lay out things like food, crops, scenery, maybe. Exploring Islamic culture. Again with the hissy. Well, so these posters were hanging on the wall in the school, and so how would that find its way to Diane Lynn Savage all the way down in Florida, Stan? Thank a coal miner. No, really. So the school was closed for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And on the day that it was closed, it turns out that a local coal mine, probably owned by Alpha, which was formerly Massey, maybe another company, who knows, we don't know here, it was used for a local, according to the Charleston Gazette story, by Rachel Melinda. The school was used Monday while students were off for Martin Luther King Jr. Day for a local coal mine's retraining workshop. One of the mine employees in attendance apparently posted to Facebook a video of the posters that had been left hanging in the halls from the October lesson. Got it? So, Cephas goes to get retrained, and while he's there, he takes out his phone because he's shocked and horrified to find out that the Cherens is learning about the Muslims. Puts it up on Facebook in shock and horror, and it spreads like wildfire around the someday we'll have us the Muslim genocide we really want right-wing community. Community. Because, see, down there in Logan, Islam, that's what that one in our White House is secretly a religioner of. And, you know, he hates coal and our white people way of life. Ecce homo. What? Homo? Never mind. Let's Let's go to the gizmo line, and we heard from Jim 1. Here's Jim 2. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
What do you know?
Great show, man. Just shows the, and I was thinking, because sometimes I do that, particularly when I'm listening to you on the line, it makes me ponder just how much this country, since I've been alive, and I've got three years on you, how much we've been at war for, what percentage of the time? I'd say it's like with some country or the other, overtly or covertly, 80-90%.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right. We were in Vietnam when I was born. We got out of there, what?
Well, we were in Vietnam. We were supporting the French in the 50s before I was born, from what I understand, almost to the tune of 80%.
So we're in Vietnam. I'm born in 1963. What, you're 61,
59. I'm a 59er.
Yeah. So we're at war until you're a teenager. We're at war in Vietnam until I get to double digits. Get a little break there. And, the 4 years. You know, that's one of those things that history is going to note about Jimmy Carter, Jim.
We didn't have any war with him.
For 4 years, the United States wasn't particularly at war. And that was intolerable to America's corporate class. It was intolerable to the Republican Party. It was intolerable to the conservative movement. And behold, Ronald Reagan. I was in college when I heard about. Yes, and all during that, even the 4 years of Carter, of course, you've got the Cold War, and Ronald Reagan making jokes on the radio that had the Russians about to push the button. I have just declared the Soviet Union illegal. The missiles will launch in 5 minutes.
That's how funny, imagine if Russia would have said that.
We would have launched the missiles. But they knew better than to let their aging warmongers near microphones. I mean, this was just a routine Saturday radio address, and, you know, Reagan being the old improv actor that he was, clowning around with an open mic. To the world.
Yeah. And then with Carter, I mean, Clinton, we had a little, we didn't have that much, but there was a little, but boy, as soon as Bush 2 got in office, man, it was just, and even the think, I remember, I don't know where I read it or heard it or about him, he wants to be a war president? I mean, that's crazy to me. That's crazy talk.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. During, and let's remember, during the 8 years of the Bill Clinton presidency, we weren't openly at war. We were just going about the business of killing, again, another million Iraqis via the sanctions and the no-fly zone.
Yeah, well, keeping them in line, keeping them in check.
Well, like they, you know, just making sure they knew their place.
Exactly. It's
and then you're right. Dim Sun gets in. I'm going to be a war president because he tried to kill my daddy.
Well, the thing is, we haven't been able to get out. We're still kind of involved in those areas to a great extent.
Oh, sure. We're not supposed to get out.
It's George Orwell, 1984.
Because if we're not killing them over there, they're going to kill us over here.
Yeah. I keep on hoping for some
Oceania. Oceania has always been at war with East Asia.
Yeah, except when they changed the countries.
Yeah.
But another reason I called up was there's a YouTube site. it's basically it's YouTube, and it's Jasper Garrison, J-S-P-R Garrison, and it's about an hour long. It's my dad. It's part of him responding to, he got like a half hour off of NBC under the Fair Time Act or something back in the late 60s, 68. But what he says, and I watched it, and they asked me, and then I'm kind of interviewed about it. It's audio, but the amazing thing to me is how relevant it is to today. It's like they haven't turned a page in history yet. It's just SOS, same old shit.
Yeah.
Still there?
I'm right here.
But you check it out, and if anybody else wants to check it out, go for it. I'm not, I have no vested interest in it, except that, I get it. And I think it's pretty relevant, and I'm very proud of my dad. But to see how little things have changed. They haven't changed at all. Little.
Yeah.
They haven't changed at all.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse.
Well, remember, it's good for business.
Yeah, but I can remember the Vietnam War. I remember when it ended, and I think, oh, well, okay. Country kind of caught a clue. But as soon as, it seems like as soon as we go to war for the stupidest reasons sometimes, instead of with the whole oil thing, you could work that out through trade deals and stuff. But it's always got to be us dominating, invading, occupying. I mean, how many bases do we have across the world? 1,600? I don't know. It's
thereabouts. Yeah, that's.
It just gets frustrating. I thought, but going back to my original point, I thought, the Peace Love generation would kind of catch a clue, but I guess they just got sucked into it because that's the only way we can seem to make business, can seem to make money, since we don't focus on training people like Europe does. And the only thing we can make money off of seems to be weapons and blowing up bombs. And am I just being too naive, too idealistic? Might have to talk me through this.
Look, if we don't hope for a better day, if we don't think about a better day, never mind the hoping. If we don't work for a better day, if we don't work for a more enlightened humanity, it's never going to come. And what fools like this Sean Adkins person, the mistake they make is in thinking that this is about a religion. It is never, religion, I talk about the classics all the time. There is plenty of carnage and bloodshed and horror in the world of antiquity. Tons of it. Barrels of it. Seas of blood. I mean, the Old Testament alone will, if you got a real case of bloodlust, it reads like a war novel.
We'll go before the Greeks.
There's plenty, but something changed with the rise of Christianity. The ancients did not go to war over religion. Their aggression was, I guess you could say, more naked, but it was also, I guess you could say, purer of purpose, if pure and war can exist in the same sentence, Jim. They went to war sometimes over absolute bullshit reasons,
but they went to war to advance their own largely economic agendas. Julius Caesar was in deep debt when he marched off to Gaul, and he came back one of the richest men in the world. The Third Punic War was fought on a complete pretext to finally wipe out the business competition coming from Carthage. Okay? Because Carthage was a direct competitor. That's why, for instance, the Spanish city, Cartagena. Well, it doesn't sound like Carthage, but it was New Carthage. Okay? They were profoundly influential on the Iberian Peninsula. They went to war to get rich or to take land. But with the rise of Christianity, for the first time, at least in European understandings, people began going to war and using religion as the pretext. And that worked out so well that when Islam arose in the 7th century of the Common Era, current era, they thought, hey, it's working so well for the Christians, it might work for us. And thus, religious conquest. You know, Genghis Khan did not traverse from Asia into Europe to spread the Mongol faith. He did it for the conquest of land. And interestingly enough, he put paid to a whole lot of Muslim ambitions, caliphate ambitions, all by himself. But the reason I mention this is that I was about to say, well, after the rise of Christianity, religion becomes a very convenient means for people who are desperately hungry for power and wealth to wage war. Because it was like some, you know, sure, you might, the Romans might have checked the auspices. They might go to war one day or put it off for another couple of days, depending on how the goat entrails looked. But they would not march into war with the goat entrails at the front of the army. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, with the rise of Christianity, Christians taught the Near East, Asia, and Europe that a religious faith could be very, very handy in changing the tide of a war. It begins with Constantine, who is sitting on the other on the wrong side of the Milvian Bridge, I never can remember. And he's got a lot of followers from his daddy's legions of a cult called Saul Invictus, the Invincible Sun. The night before the battle, in which the odds takers in Pompeii were saying pick 'em. Nah, Pompeii was covered up. I'm kidding. It was a pick 'em. And consequently, he walks out the next morning and says, I have seen a vision. I have seen a cross in the sky. It has a banner around it, and a voice told me, in hoc signo vinces. In point of fact, if you buy a package of Pall Mall cigarettes, to this day, you will still see that Latin phrase on their, that motto on the crest of a package of Pall Mall cigarettes, in hoc signo vinces. By this sign, you will conquer. And the sign was the cross. And he marched into battle with the cross in front of him, and the course of history changes utterly, at least for Western Europe.
That's when Rome went Christian?
And after he consolidates power and becomes Augustus, because by then they referred to Caesar as Augustus, after he becomes Augustus, he consolidates power and declares that the persecution of Christians will end. And from there, and by decriminalizing or de-disfavoring Christianity,
Christianity begins to rise. The bishops come into power. They fill in the administrative power base that had previously been taken care of by more traditional Roman bureaucrats. And the next time somebody needed to go to war, lo and behold, there was somebody out back nailing a cross tie to a beam, and by God, we march behind the cross into war. Religious war was invented by Christianity by people who had a need to use it to advance their own goals for power and wealth.
You see, I read Gore Vidal's novel, Julian the Last Pagan Emperor.
Yeah, I've got it myself. It's a good book.
It's a great book, and I mean, I haven't read it in decades. God, everything's decades now. But it just shows he was trying to bring Rome back to the pagan days. From what I understand, it's like a historical fiction. It's kind of basically true, but kind of elaborated through, you know. And I think Gore Vidal was a great, great writer. And his essays are killer. But that's basically true what he was writing about. I don't know if Julian was the pagan emperor, but I imagine they had some emperors who tried to bring Rome back. But
by that time it was past saving, and it wasn't past saving necessarily because of Christianity, although Christianity did contribute to the problem. But going forward from Constantine, this is a rock solid 300 years before Muhammad. But damned if it didn't work. And so Christianity taught the Arabic peoples to go to war behind a religious creed. But again, the people who were seeking, they weren't seeking to advance the faith. You had people convert or die so as to expand the power base of the ruler or the general, for God's sakes. The crescent moon that is largely a symbol of Islam or Muslim culture, if we're going to use that phrase, is the symbol of the moon that was hanging over Constantinople in May of 1453 when Mehmed II finally breached Constantinople's walls and overran the last of the Byzantine Empire and took control. But here's the fun part about that. What did Mehmed II, who was a sultan of or some such, what did he immediately call himself upon conquering Constantinople?
The Sultan of Swing?
No, sorry, that was Mark Knopfler. He called himself the Kaiser of Rum, the Caesar of Rome. He considered himself no less a successor to the Roman emperorship than had been anybody else who had taken that throne over the course of the last 1,000 years by force. Because that had gotten to be how it was.
Yeah. Well, you go with what works.
And so what this dumbass in Logan doesn't understand is that if someone is out there hollering Allahu Akbar before they chop somebody's head off, they're not doing that because they're fervent about their religion. They're doing it because it consolidates power for them. And that is the metaphor by which they speak to the people among whom they wish to consolidate power. If the guy was a Christian, he'd be head-lopping and hollering, Jesus saves.
It goes back to Machiavelli and the Prince.
Sure. Absolutely, that is nakedly Machiavellian. Because let's do remember we created ISIS. Let's remember that John McCain and oh my goodness, Lindsey Graham, get the smelling salts.
Let's remember that those two brilliant goddamned Clausewitzes, let's remember that they wanted to go and give money to ISIS because they were going to fight the brutal dictator Assad in Syria.
Well, it's like my favorite Sylvester Stallone movie. I can't stand to watch it, but I watched it. Not Rocky III, which the one where he's the warring venture. But he ends up fighting in Afghanistan. Rambo 3.
Yeah, pick one.
They're fighting against the Russians. And it's so funny. I mean, if I see it on sometimes, I'll kind of stop. But I've seen it through because it's just so ridiculous.
Oh yeah, right. I remember in college going by a movie theater in Morgantown where some of the letters had fallen off the marquee, and we thought they were showing we thought they were showing an Italian film. Apparently it was an Italian film called Unco Mon Valore.
Wow.
It turned out to be that god awful war revenge fantasy Uncommon Valor. But for a minute there, we had a little hope that maybe foreign film was going to be shown in Morgantown. Unco Mon Valore. Next, we'll get Fellini.
No, but the whole thing about Rambo 3, that's the U.S. involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I know. Hey, Jim, we got to get out of here, but it's been a fun conversation.
All right. Well, look that website up for me. Check it out.
I will indeed.
Like it. I hope everybody else likes it.
Buster. Say it again. Buster.
No, Jasper.
Jasper Garrison.
Jasper Garrison. G-A-R-S. Yeah.
Okay, Jasper Garrison. I'm sorry about that. I don't know why I said Buster. Yeah. Thank you, Jim, and have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye now. And thus we come to the end of the program. Thank you very kindly, one and all, for tuning in. I hope this was fun for you. It was certainly unsettling for me. By the way, happy Australia Day to all our friends in the Horn Family Commune congregation up over down under. Note coming in from Robert, January 26th is Australia Day. It's the 27th here today, of course. On 13 May 1787, a fleet of 11 ships, which came to be known as the First Fleet, set up a colony at Botany Bay. Botany Bay! And managed to almost starve, because Robert says tonight's Star Trek reference, and managed to almost starve to death before supply ships arrived, while the native Australians around them lived quite well. The colony, consisting of the very best rejects from Britain's overflowing prisons, moved to Sydney Cove on January 26th, but was not formally established until 7 February 1788. People wave Australian flags and wear Australian flag hats and giant fingers and all the other stuff people do on such days, all of it made in China. The Pollies hand out awards, Pollies politicians, hand out awards to all the wrong people, it seems. Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, actually got one this year for a lifetime of service. Apparently no one in Australia has done such. Basically, it's a day off, Australians' favorite pastime. Yay. Happy Australia Day to you and to all of our other members of the Horn Family Commune congregation up over down under. It is time to get out of here. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to all of you who keep us going. Thank you, Jeremy, for stepping in this evening. I'm sorry you didn't have any friends, but oh well. We'll try again tomorrow, okay? Thanks to our chat room moderators, Lottie and Texas Betsy and Sparky in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox. Happy Australia Day to you, mate. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACAC, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.